He has been on every single Thursday going all the way back to the beginning of August talking about Ohio State football. Today we'll continue to talk some Ohio State football with him and mix in some basketball as well. Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. This is one of the few times I can ever remember having Dunnigan where he hasn't actually been working. He's got a well-deserved day off today. And by the way, my friend, happy 25th birthday to you.
If only it was my 25th birthday, but thank you very much. I appreciate the sentiment.
I'm 26, 27. I was off by a couple of years, right?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, fair enough. Well, happy birthday, my friend, and we always appreciate the time. I'm glad they finally gave you the day off today. Unfortunately, Mother Nature didn't cooperate enough to get you a day off at the links, but that's another story for another time. Boy,
I would have taken the ski hill, but that Mother Nature didn't cooperate there either.
Yeah, she kind of gave you
screwing everything up right now.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys, my friend. Just remember
Bingo.
That. Major takeaways from signing day yesterday? I feel like, you know, we've asked you this a few times before. Are we finally done with it, or are the signing days done until next year now?
Well, recruiting is never over, but yes, signing day is done for the 2019 class. Buckeyes picked up two offensive linemen yesterday, Enoch Navahi and DeJuan Jones. Enoch is from Hawaii. We'll look for him to come into Columbus for a year. He's a four-star offensive tackle. He'll come in for a year, and then I believe the plan is for him and his family to do a two-year mission trip. And then once that has concluded, he will rejoin Ohio State and continue to play football for the Buckeyes. DeJuan Jones is from Indianapolis, and he's an interesting guy because he's a three-star offensive tackle. No one really picked up on him until really late. And so he wanted to kind of milk this thing for everything he had, and good on him for doing it. He is 6'8" and 360 pounds.
Wow.
When you look at his tape, and he gets a head start on a middle linebacker in high school, it looks like he just swallows them up.
Wow. Those are Bill Brasky measurables.
Oh, it's incredible to watch his tape. He does a great job blocking. I think the Buckeyes, as Ryan Day said during early signing day, he reiterated it yesterday, this class is more about quality than quantity. You know, they only have 17 guys coming in. It's a smaller class, but it's a very good class. You have two five-stars in Zach Harrison and Garrett Wilson. Zach Harrison, the defensive end from Olentangy Orange High School. You have Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver, five-star from Lake Travis, Texas, who compete year in and year out for a state championship down there in the Lone Star State. Not to mention when you think of the quarterback in Justin Fields who transfers in from Georgia, you can kind of argue he's part of that recruiting class as well, and he's another five-star. So quality over quantity is what Ohio State's going with there. And when you look at it on paper, it's a very good class.
Any major losses from yesterday? I saw there was one gentleman who decided to step away from an Ohio State after Urban Meyer had announced he was leaving and decided to go Virginia Tech. Was there any major losses that came out of that? That's the only one I really saw, I feel.
So you're talking about Doug Nestor. Yes, mm-hmm. he decommitted from Ohio State and went to Virginia Tech. He was looked at as the sixth best offensive guard, I believe, mm-hmm. in the country. From the state of West Virginia, he was one of the first guys to really verbally commit for Ohio State for the class of 2019. But with Urban Meyer leaving, you know, kind of made him a little upset. I think the Buckeyes went a little cold on him, and so he ends up at Virginia Tech, which is still a very good school for him. But you know, when you look at all in all, for the Buckeyes to only lose. And, you know, you look at everybody coming back, and for the Buckeyes to lose only two people after Urban Meyer said he retired, Keandre Jones, linebacker, he transferred to Maryland, and obviously Tate Martell transferring to Miami. For them to only lose two guys in-house and two recruits, one of which is 2020 and can come back, he never said he wasn't going to. He was just decommitting verbally, and then you lose Doug Nestor. That's very good for a coaching staff that loses their head coach and five other assistants, and they all got replaced. That's a very good class, in my opinion.
We're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. He's our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. One more question on signing day, Dunny. Do you feel like because of the new NCAA rules as far as they pertain to recruiting and signing day or the series of signing days, you feel like something was taken away from yesterday? Because it used to be that first February and that, you know, that first Wednesday in February, that was the big day for signing day every year in football. It was huge at the college and high school level. Now, you know, it feels like a little something has been taken away from it simply because you have other signing periods.
Well, I think if anything, I just got moved up to mid-December. So now instead of you having all that anticipation for bowl season and all that, now you're now early signing day, and signing day as a whole begins and almost ends right there in the middle of December. You know, you look at who signed yesterday, and it wasn't very many kids in the grand scheme of things. You know, Ohio State had 15 other 17 commits already committed, and already in, and six of which already enrolled in Ohio State a month before signing day even happens. So I think, yes, you do miss a little bit of that in February, but I think that just got replaced by what happens in December.
Now, it'll always be a big deal for the high school kids. I get that. This is always going to be a cool deal for high school kids this time of the year. Could you argue that maybe this time of the year, though, while this used to benefit everybody because the kids would always announce on this day where they were going and what they intended to do, do you think that it helps out some more of the smaller schools? Because this is typically when a lot of the D2s, lower-level D1s maybe to some degree, would announce their signing class. It's kind of a bigger deal for those schools, I simply think, because of what you just mentioned. You know Ohio State's plan, the big dogs that they're going to sign in December, whereas this time of the year, those other schools that don't necessarily get the first crack, they get a chance to explain who's signing, who they've got, and they kind of pick what's, I don't want to say what's left over, but I mean, you're not getting the top-tier kids like Ohio State and all these other big-time D1s are. You think it's a bigger deal for the smaller schools?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I compiled a list of Central Ohio student athletes that are going to play athletics at the next level, and I saw a lot of Lake Erie College and Notre Dame College and Mount Union and Otterbein and Division II and Division III and NAIA schools, we're going, you know, that helps them out a ton a day like yesterday. And that's where I think this version of signing day is going in February, is to help out a lot of the very low Division I schools and then all the D2, D3, and NAIA schools. And it's not just for football, but for all sports. For volleyball, for swimming, for basketball, for every other sport that you know, it's kind of you're signing your letter of intent for in February, I think it's definitely helpful.
Yeah, and I think that was very evident on social media yesterday, and I think you and I probably looked at a lot of the same things. You know, the big schools had made their announcements for football anyways, it seemed like, back in December. But yesterday, it seemed like a lot of the small schools and maybe some kids from other sports were going to some of the bigger schools. You saw a lot more of that on social media yesterday.
Absolutely.
Donnie, any surprise to you or anybody down in Columbus that Greg Schiano has resurfaced? Now he's the defensive coordinator with Bill Belichick in New England?
No. If you look at what Buckeye head coach Ryan Day, which is still very strange to say, when he came out with his statement about Schiano being no longer on the Ohio State staff, he said in there that he's looking to take a job in the NFL. And when I think that happened and you realize that the defensive coordinator at the Patriots would be taking the job at Miami, everything fell into place there with Greg Schiano. Bill Belichick and Urban Meyer are friends. Greg Schiano, I believe, knows Bill Belichick from his days in the NFL as well, when he was a head coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everything just kind of fit into place. It wasn't a big surprise. It wasn't a surprise at all for me that that's where he ended up. You just had to wait for the Patriots to once again win the Super Bowl in order for that, you know, in order for that to be made official.
All right, Dunny, let's shift gears now and talk about Ohio State men's basketball. They take on Penn State tonight. And boy, Dunny, I didn't realize this, but they have essentially owned Penn State when they have played in Columbus.
Except last year. Last year they lost to Penn State on a buzzer beater. Penn State is coming in very, very good defensive team. They have a lot of returning guys from a championship team from last year, because I believe they won the NIT last season. They beat the Buckeyes on the last second shot. They beat the Buckeyes in the Big Ten tournament. So this is more of a revenge game for anybody. It's Ohio State looking to get some revenge on Penn State coming in here and looking to avenge that buzzer beater loss. Last year, if you remember, Buckeyes were down double digits late in the second half, and they were able to come back and hit some threes. K-Base Diop hit a big shot to tie it, and then Tony Carr hits from half court, and next thing you know, the Buckeyes suffer one of their first losses in the Big Ten last year with that loss. The Buckeyes need a win here. They need a big win here. It almost needs to be a statement win. Penn State's only won one game in the Big Ten, and that came last week or earlier this week. So they're definitely going to be coming in red hot. Are the Nittany Lions? Buckeyes need to stop that and stop that early.
Yeah, I think they got that win Monday against Northwestern. That's kind of the bummer for the Buckeyes going into this. I mean, there's some momentum there for Penn State coming into this game, and like you said, Penn State owned the Ohio State Buckeyes a year ago. It seemed every time they played, it was somehow Penn State coming out on top.
Yeah, but you could have argued that about Rutgers, too. Rutgers,
sure.
When they came in to play Ohio State on Saturday, they had come in and won three straight Big Ten games. And Rutgers, once Caleb Weston started heating up, the Rutgers had no answer. And they lost by 14 and wasn't even that close as somebody that was watching the game courtside. So I think, all in all, I think, yes, momentum helps, but I don't think winning one game in the Big Ten is a whole lot of momentum, even if it is your first win of the season in the conference.
Ohio State all-time is 17-5 against Penn State in Columbus. So, yes, last year was a tough one. They lost on that buzzer beater, but on the whole, they've played well at home against Penn State. And again, that's a team that, as you mentioned, Dunny, they've won once so far in Big Ten play this season. I want to go back to the game you just referenced, Ohio State's 76-62 win over Rutgers last Saturday. You were there courtside. They shot the lights out, man. I mean, they hit nearly 53% of their shots. Was it the fact that Rutgers wasn't playing very well defensively? Did Ohio State find something? Can they replicate this? I mean, these are all very important questions moving forward. How much of that do you think they can replicate?
I think they can replicate the shooting aspect of it. I thought it was the Buckeyes' best game of the year so far, definitely shooting-wise. And when you look at it statistically, yes, that was definitely their best game. But the plays they ran, the shots they took, they got open through plays. They got open through transition. The only thing you have to wonder about is the defense that Rutgers played to, and then you have to look at the similarities and differences that Penn State plays. Penn State, I think, is a better defensive team than Rutgers. Rutgers isn't going to force a lot of turnovers, and you saw that with the Buckeyes, who turn the ball over a lot. They only had 6 last week against Rutgers. So what I think that will be the big aspect is, how can the Buckeyes go do this again against a different defense? I think Rutgers has one of the easiest defenses to play against, especially when it comes to getting points and not turning the ball over. Can they do it against one of the tougher defenses against Penn State? That will be the big question.
Yeah, and Ohio State doesn't have an easy road the rest of the way. I mean, we're talking 3 weeks before we get to the finish line here and about a month before we kick into conference tournament play as well for Ohio State. So it could be a pretty rough road. The Big Ten is pretty darn good this year, and the Buckeyes have some work to do. Dunny, we appreciate the time as always, my friend. Enjoy your birthday today, 27, 25, whatever in the world it might be. But enjoy it, my friend. We always appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, Andy. I'll talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
All right, Dunny, thank you again. Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Don't forget.